obeying the law. We don't abolish the law. But you obey the law because you love one another, not because of fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. I drive the speed limit because I wouldn't want to do anything that would hurt my brother. I fly an airplane by the rules and the regulations of the FAA because I wouldn't want to do anything that would cause anyone any harm. All rules and regulations are set up to protect us, to care for us, to help us love one another. But again, I want to tell you, all the politicians today that are working and trying to invoke you, if you listen to them, you know what they're there for? They're there to serve us. And they're doing everything they can to make laws that will serve one another. And they'll never get enough law. We've got hundreds of people in Washington, they do nothing but write laws so that people can be justified. And those laws justify nothing. Jesus is the justifier. His word is the last word. His word is the truth. And He said, love your enemy, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those that mistreat you. You mamas would stay on your knees all the time for your kids because our kids mistreat us. A lot of you women would stay on your knees because husbands mistreat wives. Now, I'm going to get to the part that just really got me yesterday, and as I kept hearing it read over. Some of you folks ought to go to every mass and just listen to the words being read over and over, and all of a sudden they'll begin to become, oh, you begin to hear and you begin to understand, and you begin to really get excited about God's Word. In the Gospel yesterday, Jesus said some rather exciting things. And it's the Gospel according to John, 2nd chapter, the 13th through the 25th verse. As the Jewish Passover was near, we could spend a week right there in the Jewish Passover explaining what Jesus did, or the law that was set up, how He came and fulfilled every letter of the law. Not because He was fearful of the law, it's because He loved people. He fulfilled the law of the Passover. He didn't break the law of the Passover, He fulfilled it. So He went up to Jerusalem in the temple precincts. He came upon people engaged in selling. And I'm going to stop right there. He came upon people selling. Selling. Oxen. Let's all say selling. In other words, you were not allowed to participate in the worship of God without having to buy something from somebody that was selling something. You could not participate in the forgiveness of sin unless you was willing to buy something. And man had taken the law of God and set up a neat little business. Are y'all listening? You had to pay for it. You couldn't be saved. Your sins couldn't be forgiven unless you were willing to pay for it. I just want y'all to just let this now just soak in, because this is really big stuff, folks. Now, because Jesus is fixing the head of the church, He is fixing to reveal something to us that will be extremely painful. Extremely difficult. Violent to everything that we've been taught. And then He said, He fashioned a cord. Well, let me just, he said, they were selling oxen, sheep, and doves, and others seated changing coins so that they had money changers. And I would imagine in those days, if I came in and I wanted to change money so that I could buy an oxen for a temple sacrifice so that my sins could be forgiven. This guy had me over a barrel. If he was selling to me, he could name his own price. See what I'm saying? He could put a price on that ox or that dove to where if I had money of a foreign exchange, he would be allowed to take a certain profit from what I'm giving him so that I can buy. Folks, let me just break it down and clarify. This guy that's selling me could care less whether I go to heaven or hell. He's only interested in himself. That's what it all boils down to. He's not interested in anything else. He's only interested in his welfare. And you could just go to hell and he could care less. And that was the very thing that God hated, was our total disrespect for one another, our total contempt for one another, our total selfishness toward one another. And he broke up a cord. He took a cord and he fashioned it. Now, folks, what I want to do here, in a lot of people use this to justify beating the hell out of somebody. You can't use this because this, if you read it like God intended it for us to read it, Jesus is showing us the temple and who the temple is and what he's trying to do to the church. He said, this is a house of worship. Who is the house of worship? Who's the house of worship?
I am.
Who is the house of worship?
I am.
You see what he's trying to beat out of your heart? Do you know that you'll take your kids and you'll say, if you don't do this, you ain't getting this. We'll make you do it. You don't do just like I say. If you don't, we're always putting up yardsticks and say, you've got to measure up to this point or you don't get the car on this weekend. We're going to make you toe the line, boy. And your kids, you raise them hating you. They hate to come to you. They don't want to talk to you. They'll do anything to keep from having to converse with you because they know what to expect from you. And the only way you can do that to your kids or to your husband and your wife is because we've been trained very well how to do it. We are slick in dishing out punishment because we know how. Do you know Jesus never dished out any punishment? He didn't do the prostitute, did he? He didn't make her walk around the block and say 15 Our Fathers to be forgiven of her sin. He said, your sins, they're forgiven. He never made a... He is the one that justified her sin. He said, now go and don't do it anymore. And when you find others in the same situation, you forgive them too. Now, it's not recorded, but I would imagine he did that. What we're trying to do is to live a life of the law and do certain things to please God. Folks, you can't do it. The law has been justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we love one another, we obey the law. It says here that he fashioned a cord and he turned over the people that were changing money. You know why? If this sister right here is in need, money should not be even involved in our conversation. If she has a need, then my commitment is to see that that need is met. If I have what she needs... Money should never be the object. I should never look at her and say, "Sister, I'll do it if you've got $29.95. So it'll extend my ministry. My ministry's going broke. Send your credit card." How can you break God? Huh? Folks, I'm absolutely convinced all the things that have been happening in this nation has been happening so that we could clearly see, and you would know that when you heard the truth, you'd be able to grasp it. I'm convinced it's been happening in one of the... Folks, we have seen the largest ministries of single individuals in the world. Jesus' ministry was never as big as Jimmy Swaggart's. You know that guy, he's preached to 500 million people, 150 nations, and all of a sudden, down the tubes. Because he preached the law. You can't dance with nobody because it may create an oochie-goochie feeling. Then that means we've got to separate. We've got to look at one another according to His law and hate one another. We can't even come in contact with one another. But you know, we got the Spirit of God, our flesh, we can put that sucker under control, can't we? So I can dance with your sister and control my flesh. I'm no longer irresistibly drawn to dumb idols. I no longer let my flesh dictate to me. I dictate to the flesh. The Holy Spirit living in me has conquered my flesh. It said Jesus fashioned a cord and He whipped them. That's what's going on here this morning, that some of you are being whipped. Me most of all. Because the preacher always has to do this and hear it louder than anybody else. Stricter the judgment of those that teach. You folks will never be required to live this as hard as I have to live it. And I'm going to tell you, I make one little mistake, the whole world will jump on me. Whole world. Now you think about that. Nationally known, famous Catholic lay evangelist. People love to elevate you and make you something that you're not. But you know, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. So no matter what the people say, it doesn't bother me. I know that I'm temporary in this life. And I know the only hope that I have is that I'm able to love everybody as Jesus loved everybody. And I've got to allow Him to whip the money changer out of my heart, because I am the temple. And if you'll read this, Jesus, He said, "I will destroy this temple and rebuild it in 3 days." What He was trying to tell us, that once we become the temple of God, He will begin to do those things in us that are violent to our flesh. He will begin to turn over our greed, our selfishness. He will turn over those parts of our lives that we've dominated and controlled others, keeping them from the glory and the manifestation of God's love. You got to pay to get it. If you want my tapes, it'll cost you $19.95. To come to my school, it'll cost you $8,000 a year. That's money changers. Folks, Jesus said, "Freely you have received this world. Freely you've received it, now freely give it." I'm going to make a statement here that I hope that it's not so big that it chokes everybody to death. But I do not believe that you can be a carrier of the gospel of Jesus and be involved with business. Amen. because business will constitute that I've got to take, brother, and look at money and figure out some way to make a profit and take advantage of you. And I can't do that if I'm going to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to hold you into the highest of esteem, and what I have belongs to you. And I'm convinced, brothers and sisters, that you're going to see in this marvelous church those that are willing to surrender all. You're going to surrender it sooner or later anyhow. But those that are ready to surrender it now, those are the ones that God will raise up, not without persecution, not without trials and great heartaches, being separated from family for years. But He'll raise you up. And God is no respecter of persons. You And I'm going to tell you, when God starts whipping that money out of your heart, that old money, when He starts whipping it out of your heart, it'll be the hardest thing that ever, it'll be the hardest thing that you ever turn loose of. I used to cry. I'd run into my bathroom and say, "Oh God, they're taking advantage of me." He said, "I know. They took advantage of me too." I said, "But I don't like this." He said, "Welcome to the club." I didn't either. I said, "They're abusing their privilege." He said, "So have you." I do not believe, folk, listen, has Mother Teresa ever charged anybody to minister? Has she ever charged anybody? Does she charge her students to come to school to learn how to be servants? And God, that's what God wants to teach us. We must learn how to be servants. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you learn how to be a servant. And it's something that has to be taught. There has to be example. There has to be representation. There has to be someone to show the way. He is the leader of the band, and we follow Him. Amen. Amen. Now, for all of those that want to be effective Catholic evangelist, effective Catholic evangelist, it'll cost you everything. Just like Father. Father doesn't own a thing. At least he shouldn't. Because the minute we become involved with money, we lose our identity to people. Once money becomes important, we lose our affection for people. And I'm learning that right now in my ministry more than I've ever learned it, because when the bishop gave us this school, this grammar school, and officially mandated us to raise up Catholic evangelists and a communication center, it's attracted a lot of attention. A lot of attention. And a lot of people with a lot of money are interested in the school. And all of a sudden, I've been besieged by people that want to come and to run this school with their money. And money will never run it. And I'm having to make that decision. And it's painful, because it's so easy for a man to walk in with millions and dingle it out in front of your face and dribble off some till you go, "Boy, what could we do with this? We could set up our satellite communication. We could get our television ministry. We could remodel our school," and they'll dribble it out. And all of a sudden you're like this. And God goes, He said, "Who you got your eyes on, boy? You've come this far by faith." "You've come this far by me showing you how. What are you putting your eyes on money for?" What are you letting somebody influence you for when it's got money? Don't you know that's nothing? Folks, I'm going to tell you, I've been suffering for the last few months. Because that's happened to me. I'm when a man dropped off in my ministry that's so rich he couldn't spend it in his lifetime, in the next lifetime, in the next lifetime. Just couldn't spend it. And he's dibbled out little pieces to us just to whet our appetite. And then he tells my wife that he is not in agreement with me in the way the ministry is being run. This ministry is too laxed. It has to tighten up its belt. It's got to begin to mandate and dictate on how people do things. And Jesus never mandated and dictated on how people are to do things. He said, the thing that you do is love one another. You suffer without retaliating. God's not put me in charge. This arm is not in charge. The head's in charge. He's in charge. This arm, all it does is obey. This mouth, all it does is obey. This flesh, all it can do is obey. It's not in a position to scheme or to plan or finagle or improvise. It's only committed to walk and proclaim and let God do the work. There's ministry after ministry has been raised right to the heights because of man's ability. And when he got out there so far with his ability, and he said, because God keeps going and your ability can't keep going. I'll never forget the time one of your famous preachers from Ohio, Rex Humbard. How many of you know him? I was watching him one day on TV. And I'll close with this. I was watching him one day on TV and he had his sitting behind his desk. This is 3 or 4 years ago. And he says, every radio, every TV station right now that you are observing me through, I owe $30,000. And folks, that hit me with such an impact. I said, my God, what a burden this guy must carry. Jesus said his burden was light. I said, Lord Jesus, would you show me where he made his error? Because if that man is carrying that kind of a burden, there's something went wrong. And Lord God, I want to know what it is because I don't want to make that same mistake. And as I sit there in that chair, I mean, it was just like poom, poom, the words came. He said, Charlie, that wonderful, precious, an original masterpiece started out with me in faith. And he took what I gave him and he sold it and he built and he sold it and he built and he sold it and he sold it and he sold it till he got it so big that when I finally caught up with him and passed him by, he couldn't keep up with me in his ability to sell, and it's all going down the tubes. He said, never get involved when selling, because if you do, you will be in charge of what I'm doing through you. And you don't have the brains to do it. You don't have the ability to do it. I've got the ability and the brains. I've got the genius and the wisdom. You depend on me and walk in faith. I'll give you all the things you need for my ministry. You won't have to beg. You won't have to sell. Freely you have received, freely you give, and I will manifest myself in you. So I realize that you are capable of doing so much. Every one of us in here, there's so much that we can do with our own ability, but it'll never come up to what God can do. And your ability can never reach in and please God. That's God's pleasure. And only those that surrender to Him by faith are pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6. Now it's impossible to please God without faith. since we must believe that He exists, and He rewards those that diligently try to find Him. Diligently try to find Him. And we find Him through faith. Giving. Surrendering. Forgiving. 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 70 times, 7 times. Forgiving. Not selling. Giving. Forgiving. Giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. Giving. Giving. Not selling. Giving. Not demanding. Having mercy. And every one of you here will have to make a decision that if money is your God, then you're miserable. Because you'll never get enough of it. You can never enjoy it. I don't care how what the world tells you. There's no way that you'll ever satisfy your flesh. I don't care what you're involved in. I saw an article this morning on television. A man that has collected everything. I mean, the collector. And he's never gotten enough. He's had to build a bigger house. And now he's talking to his wife about his old age. He says, you know, I think I'll go out into the desert and build a pyramid so that you can take all of my junk and bury it with me when I die. Isn't that sad? And you know whose fault it is that he's like that? It's our fault because we're the church. We've not lived the life to demonstrate to him the glory of God, the power of God, that God can sustain and supply through a generous heart, a heart that is not selling or in business or in competition with the world. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Did y'all learn anything this morning? Isn't it good? Yes. It just kind of wears you out. I mean, you go, whoo. But it's good, isn't it? What are y'all sitting there like this for? Folks, I tell you, it's tough because everything we've been trained is to make a profit. And if you make a profit off of a brother, you've got no respect for him at all. You've got no love for him at all. You're demanding that he do something to get what you got. And folks, there's not a one of you in here ever got anything that God didn't give it to you. All things were made through him. I don't know how long it'll take us in this school that the bishop has allowed us to open. But we know that out of this school, there will become more than likely an order. We don't know what kind of an order, but we know it'll be an order in the church. And it'll be people that have fashioned their lives after Jesus. You won't be able to come there with a bunch of money because you can't learn nothing. You can't come there with wealth and piled up properties because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's your heart. And if your heart's not in the kingdom of God, and the only way it can be there is to totally be stripped. I'm convinced that the world is fixing to see the glory of God. I'm absolutely convinced that this world is fixing to see the power of the living God, not the power of money, not the power of intellect to where we dominate and control people, but the power of forgiveness and love for one another. I'm convinced that the world's fixing to see this, and I'm convinced that it's going to come out of the Roman Catholic Church, the church that everybody has poo-hooed on, and called names and left and stuck their nose at, just caused great resentment in their heart. It's the very church that's going to let the world know that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. And I'm convinced that this ministry is on the front end of that. I'm convinced Mother Teresa is on the front end of it. I'm convinced that there's literally thousands of Catholics right now and Protestants that are on the front end of this thing, that are coming. We're coming. And for those that are willing to make the decision to live a deny themselves, you know what it is to deny yourself? It's to forgive. To surrender. And the only way you'll ever do that is to know that you've got eternal life, that your life is forever, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we're just passing through here. And the only thing that's going to stay with us is the words that Jesus spoke that live in our heart. Lord Jesus, help us today to enter into the reality of your kingdom. Help us, Lord Jesus, to surrender this flesh to your will. Help us, Lord Jesus, to allow us to live the life that will demonstrate to the world that people are important, that things aren't important, that people is the salt and the light of this earth. Father, that your kingdom may be built. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And everyone said,